The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Oh, buddies, it is time for the answer of the week. And you know why I get so excited? It's because you jerks do all the work. My name's Matt Baumann, one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. You guys listen to it already, I'm sure, if you know about this show. And sitting digitally across from me, he's a
guy. Yes, through the cyberscape.
Through the secret cyberscape of the internet is my man, Joe Patrick. Joe Patrick, say hello.
Good evening, nerds.
You can find me at Matt Baumstein on the Twitter. You can find Joe Patrick at JoePatrick116 on the Twitter. We're the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. It's the best show on the internet. Actually, it's the second best show next to this one. That's right.
The answer of the week is the best show on the internet.
Here's how it works. Every week, Joe Patrick posts the question of the week on the Two-Headed Nerd forums. You can find them by going to twoheadednerd.com. There's a little forum button. You click on that. Bang! You're in the coolest place on the internet. It's all kinds of cool conversations going on. But more importantly, there's the question of the week. It gets posted every Sunday by the aforementioned Joe Patrick. Joey, why don't you tell the kids what we're asking them this week?
This week's question, if I recall correctly, I feel like it seems like a really long time ago, even though we didn't skip a week.
Yeah, it wasn't.
This was from Jason Sachs, who wanted us to pay tribute to Prince and Bowie and Merle Haggard.
Yes. To be fair, we lost many more. But
he wanted to know our favorite comics about music. Sub-question added by us. Your favorite comic book musician.
Yes.
Your favorite fictional comic book musician.
Which is weird because you would think comics and music don't lend themselves together. But there's actually a lot of comics that music plays directly into, and music is a huge part of the narrative. It's so weird. Go figure. It's so weird. I don't know. Let's go to our first caller. It's Brenda Vaughn calling from Peoria, Illinois. We haven't heard from Brenda before, I don't think.
Brenda.
Hey, Joe and Matt. It's Brian DuPont calling in for my question.
My bad.
For the answer to the question of the week. And this is my third week in a row. It's a milestone. So mark it. Hey, have you ever read Captain Britain and MI-13?
Oh, did I?
I just recently found that graphic novel and kind of read through it, and I really enjoyed it. Kind of disappointed it didn't last as long as it should have, but in that comic, the very first opening few pages featured one of the Beatles, John Lennon, but it was a Skrull, John Lennon. And I just remember the opening scene of that where he's in handcuffs and there are these men in black and of course Pete Wisdom was with them and then it all just like breaks loose and the two men in black die and they end up being Skrulls and then you realize that this Skrull John Lennon is going to be a good guy and he worked as part of the Captain Britain team and I thought that was just a really neat look. Even the look of that John Lennon, that version of John Lennon was really cool. It was that like 1970s peace era John Lennon with the army jacket and everything like that.
68.
That was just really neat. So that would probably be like my favorite version of a comic musician. And if I got just a couple more minutes, and if you would indulge me, I would like to promote an indie comic that features a lot of music. And this is written by Grant Thomas. He writes a series called My Life and Records, and it's like one of those comic memoirs. And he writes about like growing up as a kid and what kind of music was going on in that. And his format is really cool because he prints it on like a CD booklet. So if any of you old guys remember those CD booklets, he prints it all in that same size and format. But his comics are on grantthomasonline.com. So you should probably check that out. Just an indie comic creator. So, all right, guys. Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for listening and, keep them coming. Right. See ya.
It sort of severely bums me out when someone says, do you old guys remember those CD booklets? Are we that old?
Really? What does he mean? Like liner notes?
Yeah, like the CD booklet, like the little book that came with your CD.
Yeah, liner notes.
That is sad.
I remember him, Brian. I'm an old guy, and I remember him.
Captain Britain and MI-13. Wonderful book. So much fun. Was that... Who wrote that? Was it Paul Jenkins? No.
Paul Cornell.
Thank you. British Paul Cornell. Jenkins is also British, though, I think.
Paul Jenkins is also British, yes.
Yeah. I mean, all those Brits look alike to me. You know how it goes. how it is. With their teeth and their accents. It's a shallow gene pool. You know? Thank you, Brian. Good call.
I love that series, though. I totally love that book.
Yeah, that was a fantastic book.
It only lasted a year, 12 or 13 issues.
Sadly, it was too good. It was too beautiful for this world. So we got one from Anthony from Brooklyn. It says answer of the week. Music. Pardon me. Anthony currently residing in Brooklyn.
In his previous email, when we thought we were going to record this live at Free Comic Book Day, we asked people to keep it PG. He sent in this missive. In regards to a PG answer of the week submission, go f*** yourselves.
Which is funny.
Your pal, Anthony.
Because Anthony's stuff is usually pretty PG as it is. Like, normally we wouldn't have to worry about him too much.
Sub nerds, Anthony currently residing in Brooklyn here, and I chose a moment where music was used, and it just brought me great joy. In Avengers Assembled issues like 20 through 25, the story is the Aranya Spider Girl, a teacher of hers, turns into an inhuman cocoon. A bunch of cocoons are stolen. She enlists the Avengers to help her rescue the cocoons. Now, that's the plot, but the real story is, can Spider Girl count herself among Earth's mightiest heroes? Does she measure up? And throughout the storyline, she has great interactions with all of the Avengers. The story ends with Captain America saying to her, look, you did great, and anytime you need us, give us a call. And the last page is Spider-Girl hanging out in her apartment, and she gets a text message from Captain America, and a new ringtone is downloaded to her phone, and it is the Avengers Assemble theme song from the cartoon. You know, always we will fight as one, that one. And I love it for three reasons. One, the last panel is her with her earphones in, just rocking out to this theme song, and I giggled, and it just made me so happy. Number two, I love that song. I love it. I didn't like the cartoon, but that theme song, I just love it. I do. And number three, this is apparently the official ringtone of the Avengers. It's like, earlier in the story, you see that Spider-Woman also has it on her phone. So that's really funny. Bonus question. Favorite comic book musician is Arsenal. He was in a band called Great Frog when he was a teenager. He was the drummer. But I just love Arsenal. And when I say Arsenal, I mean pre-JT Krull, or as I like to call him, JT Cruel Arsenal, like before the rise of Arsenal. So if you read Rise of Arsenal and that left a bad taste in your mouth, as it did in mine, read the Devin Grace and Rick Mays mini from like 1998, and that will make you love Arsenal because he's freaking awesome. Anyway, thank you. Take care. Bye.
I remember that book.
I do too. It was good. I you know what? I used to love Arsenal. He was a great character. I loved Roy Harper. I've only hated Roy Harper really since right before the New 52 and then into the New 52.
Yeah.
I mean, they just destroyed him. He was a terrible character now. But
yeah, they flushed him right down the toilet.
With that said, I totally forgot that he was in a band.
Yeah, me neither. But I mean, it's not like I've read every Arsenal appearance.
No, that's true. And
I have read that miniseries. I just don't remember it very well.
He also brought up Aranya, the heart of the spider.
Well, he was talking about Avengers Assemble.
Right.
Which is the comic based on the cartoon.
Well, still, it was cute. I saw that episode.
Was he talking about the cartoon specifically?
No, he was talking about the theme song from the cartoon. And in the comic, the theme song played on their phones.
Yeah, yeah.
It was very meta.
Totes.
Yeah, and that's cute. And that works. It counts. It's cute. I read that too and went, oh, that's adorable. And that song was kind of fun. And it was kind of a fun cartoon. I mean, hey, come on.
No. Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which preceded Avengers Assemble, was an amazing cartoon.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
And then they canceled it and replaced it with Avengers Assemble, which is just pandering garbage.
Oh, mean old Joe Patrick here.
Hey, look, the kids love it, and that's great, but kids are idiots.
No, I agree. It definitely was not as good.
It's like, you remember when we had Batman the Animated Series, and it was great, and everybody loved it, and it went away, ran its course, and it went away, and then a year or two later, the next thing that came out was The Batman with the Juggalo Joker.
Ugh, that was just awful.
I feel like that's what Avengers Assemble is to me.
It wasn't that bad. Come on.
Awful.
All right. Let's go to Jeff Hitt. He called us bright and early this week. Hit us right up because dude is a huge music geek. That's why. Let's see what he's got.
It couldn't have anything to do with the fact that he's got four hey guys, children.
I'm just saying he hit us bright and early.
Here going with my favorite comic involving music. And I, you know, I thought really hard about this one, and really the one that kept coming to mind, despite myself, was really Scott Pilgrim. I love that book as it was coming out. I was excited at every collection, and it's become such a huge, like, pop culture thing now that at first I didn't want to say that it was, but it really is. I loved the use of music. I love the use of video games. I loved the story you told about the lies we tell ourselves and how it keeps us from being happy. It's a great little book and I think music is probably one of the most important parts of it. And as far as my favorite musician, in comics, I'd have to say it's probably Lila Cheney, the intergalactic traveling musician / thief / New Mutants ally. I just thought that was so cool that she could, her one power was she was basically like a intergalactic transporter for herself and her friends. And she's definitely a character I don't think they use enough in the comics now or in before. Every time the good guys need to go fight some bad guy somewhere, I don't know why she doesn't just take them there. So, all right, guys, love the show. Talk to you again. Bye.
I love Lila Cheney so much.
Yeah, Lila Cheney is cool, and I like her powers a lot.
Yeah, she just sort of vanished. I don't think she didn't like lose her powers on M Day or anything dumb, right?
No, I don't.
Is she a mutant?
So.
Is she a full on mutant?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and like Jeff said, she's got teleportation powers, but she can only teleport huge distances, like light years.
Right.
Which is why she is an awesome touring rock star.
She is an awesome touring rock star. Ah, she does not get enough play. I love her so much.
I can't remember the last time I saw Lila Cheney. I mean, there was that New Mutants series a couple of years ago, but I don't know if she popped up in that or not.
I honestly don't know. It has been way too long. I could say that. Scott Pilgrim, on the other hand, I'm just going to come out and say it. That was my answer.
Yeah, that's my answer too. I mean, yeah. I'm not really going to change mine. My answer is Scott Pilgrim, and we can talk more about it later.
Right. And I'll go into my musician or whatever, but you know, yeah, there's just no argument. Let's go to James Sir Jimothy from Jimothy. Down Under.
G'day, Joe and Matt. G'day, listeners. G'day, Omaha, Nebraska. G'day, Legend Comics and Coffee. Anyone there listening? G'day, g'day. Happy Free Comic Book Day.
They're all
this is
attention.
Jimmy Randall, Sir Jimothy on the forums, calling in with my answer to the question of the week. So you've asked, can we discuss a favorite comic that involves music or musicians? So, of course, I was tempted to go again with anything by Claudio Sanchez of Coheed and Cambria fame. I've got no shame. I pretty much worship the ground that man walks on. But I'm going to change my answer at the last minute, because while I was researching all this sort of stuff, I've come across an Iron Maiden comic book.
Yes.
Who, coincidentally, I got to see last night.
Yeah.
Iron Maiden, made by the Iron Maiden fan club of Bulgaria. Now, there's very little information on it. The front cover I posted on the forums, it's from our seventh son of a seventh son, and it's got Eddie on the cover, and it looks pretty bizarre. So my new mission is to actually track this comic down and check it out. I love Iron Maiden, and put on a really good show and want to see what their fan club does. Now, for the additional bonus points question, who is your favorite comic book musician? Just to stick with tradition with me, I'm going to go a bit left field again. I'm going to choose the Joker in The Killing Joke, that really messed up song that he sings at the end to Batman. I'm very interested in actually hearing what that sounds like when the movie comes out. It'd be pretty cool to hear what Mark Hamill brings to it. Those are my answers. I hope you liked them. And yeah, again, happy Free Comic Book Day. Yay. Rock on. This is Jimmy signing out.
I have only seen covers of that Iron Maiden comic. I'm aware that it exists, but I've never actually seen it.
Yeah, Jim posted a picture of it on the forums. It's pretty glorious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. As far as the Joker singing in Killing Joke, you're a sicko. All right. There you go. Let's go to the Orca. I feel like it's been forever since we've heard from this guy for some reason, but you know,
except it hasn't been, because he wasn't he on the show just a couple weeks ago.
That sounds right. I don't know. I don't know if I were.
Oh, well, I guess it would have been about 3 weeks ago because he's up again next week. This week.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I was even there, to tell you the truth.
Hello, Omaha. Orca here. I had the pleasure of visiting your fair city last year when my little cousin Warren threw his annual soiree down to the CenturyLink Center. I couldn't make it this year. I got a prize cow who's on dialysis now. Keeps me pretty tied down. But I didn't want to let Joseph or Matthew down on their big day, so I thought long and hard and came up with an answer. See, I don't listen to much music. Every time it seems to worm its way into comics, it gets a little too, well, let's say gentle, instead of another G word I want to use. Case in point, The Wicked and the Divine. I know lots of emos love it, but you can keep all that garbage. Give me Ed Brisson's Violent, or any of Rick Remender's sci-fi stuff instead. The only time I remember music being used effectively in a comic book was, go figure, in a comic written by a musician. The Fabulous Killjoys was awful, but Gerard Way's first hit, The Umbrella Academy, was a favorite, and The White Violin was a great antagonist.
Yeah.
This didn't lean too hard on the music, but seeing her use her sound as a weapon was neat. While the story could get a little crazy, the art was the real reason to pick this up. I'm sure Legend has the trade. Go buy it today. Before I sign off, as promised, I have a special message for all the children listening.
Oh, boy.
If you're under 15, listen up. There are a lot of heroes in comics, a lot of characters to aspire to. But take it from me, a 92-year-old guy who's seen the world at least 4 times. Choose wisely. Forget your Wolverines and Deadpools. Violence, party humor, being mean and insulting all the time. Rubbish. That type of lowbrow stuff is the low-hanging fruit. The easy path. Let all that die with us old farts too dumb to see the light. It's hard to be purely good. It's hard to be Superman. And not his powers that are tough to emulate. It's his ideals. But try. Be good to one another. Be optimists. Defend principles. Have hope. I might get a good chuckle once in a while, but it's only a consolation prize for 90-plus years of debauchery. Our future rests with you. I'm just part of the ever-fading past. Kiss, kiss, nerds.
Okay.
Wow.
I know. And that went way over 2 minutes, but I could not stop it.
I don't even remember what his answer was.
The Umbrella Academy was his answer.
Oh, okay.
Which barely counts because it's written by a musician, but I'm going to count it because it was wonderful.
But it's also not about music.
No, not really. But I do like the White Violin as the main bad
guy. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. I count it. I count that. The White Violin.
Very cool. And a heartwarming end. Wow. Man.
Dangerously enlarged.
Yeah. Well, you know.
As we like to say.
The guy's 92, so he doesn't have a whole lot of time left trying to get into heaven. I get that. Let's go to Jesse Kiefer.
Joe and Matt, it's Jesse from GrawlixPodcast.com. Hey, happy Free Comic Book Day. At about this time, I'm likely to be having a terrible kink in my neck and probably my back from likewise drawing far too many My Little Ponies at another comic book shop in Omaha. So kudos to you, Joe Patrick. The bronies are ravenous. My kingdom for a bebop or a rocksteady. But I digress. I came here for answers. Or actually, I came here to give an answer. My favorite comic book musicians. My answer is informed by the great historical figures of the past and is validated by the far-reaching impact that these musicians will have on the future. Gentlemen, my favorite musicians in comics are Bill S. Preston, Esquire, and Ted Theodore Logan. Together they are Wild Stallions! Wait, Kiefer, that's a movie, not a comic. But actually, it is a comic. A most excellent comic book, in fact, which came about after Evan Dorkin was tapped by Marvel Comics to put together the comic adaptation of Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. So the monthly run came out after the movie. And what I love about that is that, according to Dorkin himself, he was given almost total freedom by his editors to make fun of whatever he wanted and to draw the goofiest crap he could think of. And he did. If Mad Magazine and the Bill and Ted movies had a love child, it would be the Bill and Ted comic book. The art, the satire, and the oddball characters all made this, hands down, my favorite example of comic book musicians. With that, happy Free Comic Book Day. And like Abraham Lincoln once proudly exclaimed,
"Be excellent to each other." And party on, dudes!
Have a great week.
That was good. That was really good. I love Evan Dorkin's Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure comics.
Evan Dorkin is amazing.
Oh, man. And when Bill and Ted came back, we reviewed it. And I was so excited because I was like, please, please, please just capture a fourth of that magic and I'll be okay. And they didn't. But, you know, there's only one Evan Dorkin. So what can you do? Excellent answer, Kiefer. Thank you, buddy. Let's go to the THN old timer, our very own Mr. Gregory Litchfield. This guy, I'm so glad he gets out of bed every day just to do this for us.
Greetings, two-headed nerds. This here is your new moon tree. Greg Litchfield, and the official THN Old Timer. My favorite comic that featured a musician was from a series written and drawn by Timothy Truman titled Scout. Scout was published by Eclipse Comics from 1985 to 1987 for a total of 24 issues. Scout starred a Native American Apache Indian by the name of Emmanuel Santana, who was actually named for Carlos Santana, the musician. Santana was an ex-U.S. Army Ranger on a spiritual mission to destroy several mythical monsters of Native American folklore that had come to plague the land. These monsters could take on human form and thus infiltrate various power structures of our once great country. Timothy Truman is not only a comics writer and artist, but also a musician, so he put a lot of music into his comic as well. One of the characters that Santana encounters is called Guitar Man, and it is Guitar Man who plays his Fender Stratocaster loudly while the enemy bass is burning around him. Guitar Man seemed to be inspired by Jimi Hendrix in both look and dress. In issue number 16, Truman even included a flexi-disc record that you could play on your record player, a two-song soundtrack for the comic itself. In 1987, Timothy Truman and the Dixie Pistols produced an album of rock, blues, country songs inspired by Scout. The instrumental track playing in the background is called Scout Theme and clearly recalls the classic sound of westerns from the 60s. There you go, Matt and Joe. This here's your old amigo, Greg Litchfield, saying, "Nuff said."
Did he actually dig out the Scout record?
Yeah, that's what he was. That's what he was playing in the background. The Scout Flexi. That is so cool. I loved Scout.
Oh. You know, I've seen Scout 100,000 times in 100,000 quarter boxes, and I've never once read it.
I loved Scout. It was so good. That was like, I mean, like I fell in love with Truman before that, but I think it was like the Longbow Hunters is what I read.
Yeah, but this probably would have been prior to the Longbow.
No, Scout was so definitely pre that. I just hadn't read it yet.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for your call, Greg. As always, wonderful to hear from you.
Absolutely. And that was cool that you actually dug that out and were able to find it. Somebody just called us to say how much they loved Civil War. I don't know who this is.
It was Anthony.
Oh, that was Anthony. He was like, "I loved it. Bye."
Yeah.
Short. That's cute. Let's go to the Warbringer. He says he slaughtered half the crew because they ate his deli tray. I totally get that.
What's up, nerds? It's me. It's Talon, also known as Warbringer. Calling in with my answer.
He's still butthurt.
And you guys broke it down into two parts, and I really didn't have an answer this week until it finally dawned on me that the answer is Gwar. They,
good answer.
They had their own comic book for a little bit that they published themselves through their Slave Pit Studios, the same studio that makes all their props and all that other good stuff. And we follow our favorite Scumdogs universe, you know, through the galaxy as they look for deli trays and just cause mayhem everywhere they go. It was pretty good. I think you can still buy them from their website. It was pretty awesome. There was a few issues, I think. And that's my answer. The great band, funny comic book, and you guys should all read it. Either download it in your own various ways or go and buy it. But that's my answer. Rest in peace, Odorous. Later.
We did lose Odorous way too soon. It sucks. That guy was not old enough to die. Love him so much. If you want to get your hands on the Guar comics, they are for sale. You can get the collected edition of Skullhead Face, although it's not cheap. It's on, there's one on Amazon for like $70. They've got to go for less than that. My God.
Everything I know about Guar, I learned from the movie Empire Records.
Oh, that is terrible. I saw Guar play in Lincoln 2 months before Odorous Urungus died. I'm not like trying to brag. I'm just glad I got to see it. I've seen Guar like 6 times. I love that band. Their live shows were
now you're trying to brag
anything unlike anything you've ever seen. Wonderful stuff. And I have at least a couple of the Guar comics somewhere in my collection. Great answer. Nice job, Warbringer. Go back to Warbringer, okay? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to out you, okay?
Look, I don't understand the difference here. Like, Talon the Warbringer is a badass name.
I know.
What's the big deal?
I don't know. He was all upset because we said his real name. Because it's not like your name is like Morty or something or like, you know.
What is his first name actually Talon?
His first name is Talon. Yes. Talon Galen. Well, I'm not going to say his last name, but his first name is Talon. We don't want to get him stalked. Speaking of finding people, I'm hoping our man on the street, Damon Chan, is back out on the street. He was injured last week. He messed up his ankle.
Yeah.
Hey guys, Damon from Flint. I am back on the mean streets of Manhattan.
Back on the street.
1 week off due to a hobbled foot. But come on, if you knew me by now, you knew that that couldn't keep me off the streets for too long. Anyway, I'm giving my answer to what's my favorite comic book band. And my answer is Clash of the Demon Head from Scott Pilgrim versus the World. And I'll admit, when I was reading Scott Pilgrim originally, I didn't even know they were going to be my favorite band. However, I always thought that that book would make a great movie based on its emphasis on bands, music, and of course the crazy characters and avant-garde art. The possibilities have come to life was pretty cool. So when I saw that movie, I was actually not disappointed with any of the music that was in that movie. But it's that concert scene when all of them go to see Clash of Demon Head and they start playing Black Sheep, which incidentally was played by the real life band Metric, or at least they wrote that song for the movie. And I was like, wow, this is so cool. And that song just stuck in my head, even to the point when I think about Scott Pilgrim versus the World, that's the song that sticks in my head for some reason. And I also realized that I would probably see these guys live. Although since it's Metric, I guess technically you could see them live. But, I mean, come on. Who would want to see Todd, who's played by Brandon Routh, and Brie Larson, who's the lead singer, just be sinfully obnoxious up on stage? I would definitely pay to see that. But anyway, yeah, that's my answer. Clash of the Demon Head from Scott Pilgrim versus the World. All right, guys, I am out. See you next time. Bye.
It's a good answer. I will tell you, I've seen Metric. They are just as obnoxious and just as cute. Now,
I believe Metric did all of the songs that were attributed to Clash at Demon Head were done by Metric.
That is true. Did you know? Do you know where their band name comes from?
Metric? No.
No. Clash at Demon Head. Do you know where their band name comes from?
It's a video game or something.
It is a video game. It was a 1989 Nintendo property from Tokai. Released in 1990 in North America. Very cool. Super nerdy shit, too. I love it. And I loved that band. They were so sexy. Oh, my God. Good answer, Damon. There's going to be a lot of Scott Pilgrim talk in this, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Which there should be. And we'll get to that later. Right now, let's go back to Google Voice Line. TD Dubs. This guy thinks he can just call whenever he wants to. Really?
Yeah, I guess so.
Good Lord.
Joe and Matt, this is the TD Dubs calling in with the question of the week. The caller ID may say Battle Creek, but the truth is coming straight out of Grand Rapids. It's been a while since I've called in, over a year. My apologies. Been busy. I've been training with Lord Stephen Fino to be the next master of coin. So that is going very well.
I hope
Thank you very
this.
Much. So you're asking a question about favorite comic book featuring musicians and stuff like that. That's a good topic. I like it. I'm going to have to go with Matthew Bogart's The Chair's Hiatus. It started off as a webcomic a few years ago, and it's a tale of an indie rock band called The Chairs, and one of its members who's trying to find herself after quitting a successful indie rock band. It was a Kickstarter project, and I don't know how accessible it is, other than you could probably find it online at Matthew Bogart's website. Good story. Good talking to you. Maybe I'll call you back in a couple of years. Bye.
Dubs, come on, man. Jesus.
I have it on good authority that somebody might be resurrecting one of their long-forgotten regular columns.
Oh, really?
On twoheadednerd.com. I'm not naming any names.
Yeah, prove it. Prove it. Prove it.
I guess we'll see what happens.
All right, all right, all right. Let's not get too excited. Let's go to our man, Jeffrey. Gotta catch them all. Mr. Ketchum himself.
Greetings, two-headed nerd. It's JD Gotta Catch 'Em All calling in for the answer of the week. My favorite music-related event in comics has to be in Invisibles Volume 1 when Gideon, or King Mob, summons his number 9, the number of Ganesh, the god who breaks down obstacles, scent of jasmine, number of Lenin, number 9, more popular than Jesus. He summons Lenin as a god. John Lennon, the Beatle, the everything else. Why wouldn't he ascend to that status? I mean, Grant Morrison takes a lot of flack for the stuff he writes, especially in Invisibles, but that is genius in my opinion. As far as my favorite fictional band, I like a band from a little known, limited series, two volumes, called The Amazing Joy Buzzards.
Oh, yeah.
A rock and roll adventure band that battles evil. Group consists of Biff Ashby, Gabe Carlisle, and Steve-O Vargas. The band is managed by a guy named Dalton Warner of the Creative International Artists, which is really the Central Intelligence Agency. Basically, he uses the band to get places where he normally couldn't, and the band has a knack for defeating supernatural evils. They also have the assistance of a Mexican wrestling genie named El Campeon, who assists people in their time of need. He can be summoned by a magic amulet and shouting the words, "Go, El Campeon, go!" It's like Scooby-Doo meets Blink 182, or no, that's Green Day or something. But it's just craziness, and it also introduced me to one of my favorite comic book artists, Dan Hip. So that's my answer. See you on the flip side.
I love Dan Hip.
I loved The Amazing Joy Buzzards. That was a fantastic book. I honestly totally forgot about it until he just brought that up.
Jason at Legend swears by it. I haven't ever picked it up.
Oh, they were hilarious.
But I love that artist. I love Dan Hip.
They were so good. That's fantastic. And I love it. What was it? The CIA acronym, Creative International Artists.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like, why wouldn't they just hide under that? Great call. Nice to hear from you. Let's go back to the Google voicemail here. It's our mystery husband, and he loves us.
Hey, honey, it's me. You know good and well that music is my first obsession. But with that,
yeah, I totally did.
I've never read really any comics based on music. So I'm going to alter your question a bit. And my favorite comic based on music is The Wicked and the Divine. I love the use of musical archetypes with the gods, the gigs, and how that can kind of be, how a great show can be a euphoric experience. Yeah, I just love everything that Gillen and McKelvey bring to that series, and it echoes a lot of my own feelings about music. Favorite fictional musician? I have a musician that I wish was fictional, Adam Levine. I just wish he wasn't real.
I do too.
Thanks.
Okay, good.
for listening, and talk to you later. Love you. Bye.
I was afraid our husband was going to tell us how much he loved Adam Levine, and I was going to be like, no.
Hey, honey.
No. No. Okay, The Wicked and the Divine. Do we need to read this? I gave up. I gave up on it.
I mean, I read the first couple.
I read the first four. I think I read the first four, and then I went, you know, like I saw what they were doing, and it's not bad by any means, but I just didn't feel like I needed to go on. And maybe I'm wrong. Am I wrong? Are we wrong? You guys tell me. Do I need to catch up on this?
I'm not qualified to answer, so
I'm not asking
you.
I'm
in the same boat.
I'm not asking you.
Hey, whatever, dude.
So yeah, let us know. Maybe Joe and I are jerks. Maybe we don't understand. Do we need to read The Wicked and Divine? Lay it on us. Right now, though. It's a little late. I'm a little tired, but I'm going to get fired up because goddammit, it's Toots time.
Well, Mr. Toots, let's go through our stack of books here and see if we can't get an answer for this week's question. Okay, now there's Dazzler, the original, of course. There's also Red Rocket 7, which is awesome for the format. I mean, each issue was the shape and size of a record album sleeve, and thanks to the hipsters, young kids now know what records are. There's Neil Young's Greendale. There's the Fifth Beatle. Man, there's even that monster of a book over there called Comic Book Tattoo, which is an immense book, and it's filled with thousands of artists depicting Tori Amos songs, but I might be a little embarrassed to say I own that. Maybe I shouldn't. I'm a proud toots. I know what I'm doing. Oh, man, and there's also the very first Tank Girl limited series where they wrote the lyrics to Pixie songs in the gutters of the comic book. Man, that thrilled me. Hey, that brings to mind the true answer of this. Oh, my gosh, how did I not think of this at first? Let's flip this record over. Side B. I'm going to switch this question around. I got it. My answer is the Gorillas. The cartoon characters that were designed and drawn by Jamie Hewlett, one of the co-creators of Tank Girl.
Oh.
Man, the Gorillas are awesome. That band is a perfect blend of comic book and music. Jamie Hewlett drew cartoon videos and drew so much artwork for that band. It's amazing. Man, even when you go see them in concert, you watch digital versions animated of those characters play the concert. No other answer.
That's a really solid answer. First of all, I love the band, the Gorillaz. They were totally rad. Second, all that shit that Jamie Hewlett did for it was the coolest, most stylish looking stuff. And he's right. Whenever they played live, it was all like this cartoon comic book versions of them. So cool. Great answer.
Yeah, dude. I love the Gorillaz.
Oh, yeah. And we're due for some more Gorillaz, right? It's been quite a while. Come on.
It has been a while.
Toots, thank you for your call. Always good to hear from you, buddy. But right now, he took his time this week. He didn't pull the trigger right away. I feel like he wanted to think about it, marinate on it a little bit. This is a guy that is obsessed with music. You know him. You love him. His name is Randy Andrews.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question of the week. What was I looking for?
I love that he used the same record scratch we always use.
No.
Randy, easy on your records.
Ah, here we go. Well, guys, what I found is I'm thinking of music in comics, specifically The Edge of the Spider-Verse, number 2, introducing Spider-Gwen, and her rocking out in the comic with the Mary Janes. So, the music in many comics is unique, but with that current comic, they actually created the song for the comic. That's all that I could come up with this week, guys. Hope you liked it. Check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.net. And my music this week is by Married with Sea Monsters, and they call it Face It, Tiger, by the Mary Janes. And so, I will see you in a week. Bye for now.
I'm so confused.
I will say this. The same week that Marvel put out the Mary Jane song, The Face of Tiger, DC put out the Black Canary song, which I can't even remember what the title of it was. And I will say, I think the Mary Jane song, way better. Way better.
You think what song?
The Mary Jane song was way better. It was just harder and cooler and more.
Well, Black Canary put out like a 3-song EP.
Yeah. And none of it was as cool as that one song. Just saying. That's my opinion. They were fine. I'll say that. They were fine.
Whatever.
And we'll go to Tim Benson.
Let's place our bets real quick.
Okay.
How much do you want to bet that he chose the Evanescence song from the Daredevil movie soundtrack?
If he did, he's not my friend anymore. How's that?
He didn't. I'm just kidding.
So for the music question, I guess I've only got one, so I guess it's by default my favorite, and that's Batman, Fortunate Son. So I read this, I was on this kick for like hardcover graphic novels, trying to do one and done stories, and so I picked this up, and it was terrible, and it didn't make any sense to me. I had no idea what the hell was going on, and I also didn't know what the title meant. Like, I didn't get it. So years later, I was enlightened and I heard, you know, Fortunate Son. And it made sense that I was the idiot. And yeah, but the comic still wasn't very good. So I don't feel very bad about it. But it was an example of how, you know, you can base your story, your comic, your book on something else in pop culture. And if you don't have that experience outside of the book, you've kind of failed short. So, yeah, that's my story.
Okay. I liked Batman Fortunate Son. It was Gerard Jones wrote it. Gene Ha drew it. And it was a one shot. Like,
it was a hardcover, I thought he said.
They released it later as hardcover. When it first came out, it was one of those like thick bound comic books. I can't remember what they used to call them. Prestige format. Thank you. Yeah. I really liked it. And it was like the story of, this young singer who everyone was likening to be like the next Elvis went insane and disappeared. And Batman and Robin had to track him down and they talked music the entire time. And it was obviously just Gene Ha and Gerard Jones using an excuse to write a bunch of music crap into their Batman story. I really liked it. But I also love Gene Ha. So, and I don't think Gene Ha gets enough work.
I do love Gene Ha, but I've never read Fortunate Son.
It was great. I still own that somewhere in a box in my basement, possibly with some water damage after it flooded the other day. But hey, what can you do? Let's go back to the Google voicemail. This one's coming from right in our neighborhood, I believe. This is the official THN Bachelor, Chris Bykiller. Google Voice thinks it's Chris Bykiller. Yeah.
Yikes.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Matt. It's your favorite Bachelor, Chris Bykiller here. And I really need to apologize for getting this out so late. I was going to try and do something special, but I've been off world for a while now. After my date with Lois Lane, Starfire picked me up, and, well, we've been busy.
Dude!
And I don't know how to get home. Luckily, I got service. Anyway, I figured I'd answer the question of the week as for my favorite comic book with music in it, and I think it goes to Scott Pilgrim. Honestly, I thoroughly enjoyed the work by Brian Lee O'Malley. I loved all the characters, even when you're not supposed to love them, and I really just had a great time reading it from start to finish. Bonus, the movie was all right, and all the music was done by Beck. So, you know, take that how you will, but I thoroughly enjoyed the soundtrack, and I could listen to Garbage Truck all day, and Again? I'm sorry, guys. Starfire is really getting on me. I gotta go. Thanks for letting me call in. Toodles.
Bockelder? Just nailing babes, left and right. Like, it's amazing that guy has any strength to do anything else. Beck did not do all the music.
We saw his girlfriend on Free Comic Book Day, and she was none too happy about his extracurricular activities.
I told her straight up, like, look, he's a bachelor. You just have to live with that, you know. And if you can't, maybe you need a different man, you know. That's all I'm saying, all right? Now, Beck did not do all the music, but he did collect and produce all the music for the soundtrack. And it's a great soundtrack, and I love Beck, and I love Scott Pilgrim. So it's a great answer. Chris, good to hear from you. You're always going to be single in our hearts. You know, maybe I'm just holding out just to see what happens. Who knows? But right now, it's time for BS3, the Black Scorpion.
Hey, nerds. So last year this time, Joe and Matt claimed to broadcast to ones of listeners. I'm hoping that the live audience has grown just as the army of online listeners has.
Oh, it was fives of listeners.
And thanks for everything, Joe and Matt. This week's question asked about musicians in comics, and my pick has lots of real-life musicians setting up the story of an imaginary band. I'm talking about the 2006 graphic novel from Moonstone called Cyclone Bill and the Tall Tales. This is a non-linear story that begins with an incredibly successful rockabilly kind of guitar man named Cyclone Bill, and he gets shot on stage in the middle of a show. And what follows are explorations into Bill's history, his bandmates, his girlfriends, the fame, the rival bands, all that jazz. And we see each of their stories presented at first to vet them as possible suspects, but really what we get is this rich examination of a band growing through time and their changing role in the world of music. But this isn't one of those self-indulgent publications where some guy who was once in a band started to just write something about it. No. What follows is actually a gratuitously indulgent rock and roll mythology work. We're talking about things like the 27 Club. We're talking about deals with the devil. We get to see Robert Johnson and hear about his showdown with the devil at the crossroads. Oh, and we also get to see a whole lot of mythology about the king himself, Mr. Elvis Aaron Presley. A guy named Dan Daugherty both wrote and drew this title, and it's clear they had a vision of what he wanted it to be. This is one of those comics that really makes the most of its black and white format. It's stark, and each chapter begins with a sketch and some kind of relevant quote from Iggy Pop or Johnny Cash or Nick Cave. You get it. So Daugherty made a world that I would best describe as a Jack Knight-worthy world. This is a comic for people that nerd out on music lore and rock and roll mythology. It's also for people who are still carrying the torch for $5 shows. So what I'm saying is Matt Baum should read this book and he's going to like it. All right, I'm going to be off the grid for a while, so I'll miss you dearly. Till next time, nerds, this is BS3.
Oh, man, BS3. I'm going to miss you. When you get out of prison.
It's going to be gone a month.
When you get out of prison, you give us a call. All right, buddy. And I still think you're innocent. I have no idea what this comic book is. I don't know what he's talking about.
Me neither, man.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. Now I got to find it. It sounds like it's great. Damn. I have so much
right up your alley, he said.
I have so much stuff I have to read. Holding out for $5 shows. Ugh, it's been a long time. Our final caller goes to the man with the question himself, Mr. Jason Sexier. I dare you to get better looking than this guy.
Hey guys, Jason Sachs here, at Jason Sachs on the Twitters. Thought a lot about the question I asked this week. I thought about the amazing Prince comics of the 1990s, which are incredible. Thought about a great graphic novel about Johnny Cash called I See the Darkness. It really is one of the most amazing graphic novels you'll ever read, and a fantastic depiction of the life of one of our greatest musicians. Even thought about Disco Dazzler in her snazzy bell bottoms and disco roller skates lighting up the Marvel Universe in the 1980s. She was a bright, shiny phoenix that flew across our skies, so to speak. But music is all about life and youthful energy and a certain amount of pure joy, so I decided to go with Sex Bomb from the Scott Pilgrim books. Scott's band isn't the greatest, but they're fun and they rock. And hey, in the movie, all their music is written by Beck, which is amazing to me. Sex Bomb. Maybe not the greatest band in comics, but maybe the most fun.
I love Sex Bob-omb. Or Bob-omb, or however you want to say it.
Yeah, Bob-omb.
Okay. So we got to pick our favorite.
Oh, man.
They're all in the notes. They're all in the notes. I wrote them all down. I'm giving mine to the Warbringer because I forgot that there was Guar comics out there. And the Guar comics were a lot of fun. And Guar is one of my all-time favorite bands. And I own at least two of them. I just don't know where they are. I'm going to have to dig them out. I'm only giving them to him because I totally forgot that existed. And they're super off the grid, super weird. Otherwise, it would have been Jesse Kiefer with his pick of Wild Stallions and the Evan Dorkin Bill and Ted book, because that book was so great.
It would be easy to just pick everybody that picked Scott Pilgrim because that's my answer.
Right.
But instead, I'm going to give it to the Orca.
Okay.
Not necessarily for his answer, but for his very wonderful and heartfelt idea or advice to the youths of our nation.
See, now that you just pandering to Joe Patrick, you just say something sweet and Joe Patrick be like, well, I didn't really like the answer, but that was so nice.
No, I like his answer just fine. Now, Umbrella Academy is an amazing comic.
It is an amazing comic. Doesn't have a lot to do with music, but it's an amazing comic. And we count.
But the villain is a musician, and that totally counts.
That's true. We counted it. All right. So we both agree, Scott Pilgrim, far and away, the best comic that has anything to do with
music. Yeah.
It's art.
So, I mean, I don't think we really need to get into it. No. Scott Pilgrim is my favorite. It's your favorite, too.
I will just say, like, as a kid that grew up in, like, the DIY punk rock type scene, ran a club and stuff like that, they captured that feeling so perfectly. You could tell Brian Lee O'Malley grew up in a very similar scene, watching bands in basements, bands in clubs and stuff. They just nailed it. And the movie nailed it too. They really did. Love that answer. And I don't think there's another answer we can come up with. Let's just go straight to our favorite fictional comic book musicians.
Okay. So while I will say I did not change my answer to the main question, I did change my answer for favorite comic book musician.
Okay.
I was going to pick Kim Pine, the drummer for Sex Bob-omb.
All right. She was adorable.
You just heard her in Jason's call. She's angry. She shouts all the time, every time they start a song.
We are Sex, I think she's great.
But I have rethought my answer, and I have picked a character that has only appeared in, to my knowledge, 4 comic books ever.
What?
Bluegrass from the Silverhawks.
He plays a guitar and like shoots laser music out of it to battle. What was the name of the woman? The evil woman.
Melodia.
Melodia. She played a keytar and they like fought each other, firing notes at each other.
So Bluegrass was the pilot, the Silverhawks' pilot. He flew their jet, whatever the jet was called, I forget. And he was a hillbilly, like, guitar player. And he had a cowboy hat and a bandana around his neck. And he played, like, a futuristic-looking guitar.
Oh, yeah.
That shot music lasers.
But he was, like, he was still total Hickseed guy. He was like, I can't
get
country music out of my mouth.
I think he was probably more like rockabilly, because I think the music that he played was, like, rock riffs.
Okay. All right.
Not necessarily like old timey, like Buddy Holly type stuff, but I don't think he played country music is what I'm saying.
No, like in the cartoon, he always just kind of shredded.
He shredded, right.
You know, but I mean like,
but he was head to toe in silver armor, just like all the Silverhawks. And underneath that cowboy hat was a silver metal mohawk.
It's true. It's true.
The only Silverhawk to have a haircut, a hairdo, like a distinctive hairdo.
Yeah, everybody else just had like metal heads.
Yeah, they were vaguely like hair shaped, but they all kind of had the same hair shape. But Bluegrass had a straight up metal mohawk under there. And I love him. He's my fave.
Okay, look, Rick Jones is one of the most underrated characters in the Marvel Universe. I love Rick Jones.
And I do too.
At some point in his life, he had, I don't know if it was like a hit or a series of hits, but I feel like he was like a one hit wonder sort of in the 80s and had like a rock hit and then fell off.
He was a musician. Yeah.
He was a musician, but like he had a big hit. And I will never forget that cover of Avengers Forever where Carlos Pacheco drew him sitting in that chair, sort of leaning back, and he's wearing a hot tuna shirt.
That's the first issue cover.
Yeah. So cool. Rick Jones was always like, I always kind of pictured him as like Rick Springfield if he were friends with the Hulk.
Yeah, sure.
Right? Young, sexy guy, good dude who knows how to shred on guitar, you know, and doesn't have the sense to get out of the way of that gamma bomb, unfortunately.
Like, sorry, dude.
Rick Jones, my favorite fictional comic book musician. Love that guy.
Yeah, I remember there was an issue of Alias, the Jessica Jones comic, where he was involved in one of her cases and she went to like one of his little concerts. But this was when he was like, he was coasting on like the money he made from like writing that book about superheroes. Yeah. About like hanging out with superheroes. It was called Sidekick.
And this is like his return tour or something.
Right. Like. Well, he was like playing some coffee shop or something.
Right.
So he was kind of like a has-been in that comic.
Yeah, they always kind of played him as like a one-hit wonder. Like he had like some big hit and some people loved him, but truthfully, like...
Like I think it would be a like stretch Falco. To call him a successful musician.
No, he was like Falco. Right?
Yeah, except he is not a dead person.
No, maybe he was more like Eddie in the Buggles.
Yeah, okay, sure.
He had his hit and then just sort of fell off, you know, whatever. But hey, the dude was an honorary Avenger. He was directly like tied to Captain Marvel for a while. Best friends with the Hulk. I mean, come on.
Kicked it with Rom.
Yeah. Give me a break.
Dude was all over.
Yeah. Almost had cancer, but the Beyonder cured him.
No, he did have cancer.
Oh, yeah. He did have cancer, and the Beyonder made him feel better.
So, yeah, Beyonder made him feel much better.
Come on. You would, too, if you're the Beyonder. It's Rick Jones we're talking about. Great question. A lot of great answers. Man, you guys did a good job on this one, but unfortunately, the work never ends. Joe Patrick, what's our new question of the week?
Well, hell, man, this is your job. You steered the show last week.
All I did was post it. You have to read it.
Oh, my God. Hold on.
Go.
While I'm looking this up, do you know where you can find the question of the week every week?
I have a rough idea, but that maybe you could remind me.
chnforums.boards.net.
Ah, that's right. I knew that. I totally knew that.
It's the most magical place on the internet. So this week's question came from Jim Kettner, who asks... This is sort of in honor of Captain America Civil War and the upcoming Civil War 2.
I think it's Civil War also.
Like Civil War T-O-O.
T-O-O, yeah.
What is your favorite comic book war? Are you talking about like war story?
No, we're just like war. Your favorite war. Now, we did say like if you want to get into it and like dig into something, like maybe it's an issue of Sergeant Rock. Or an issue of the NOM or something like that. That's
because you know that people are just going to call in and give you their favorite war comic. You know that, right?
But like other people might call in and be like, I love the Kree-Skrull War. Like the whole thing. I loved all of it, you know?
Talk about your favorite comic book war story.
We would also
you
take,
know the drill. You got 2 minutes to talk about comic book wars.
Battles. We take battles as well. Like
battles.
You know.
Right. If you want to narrow it down to like a specific story or a battle within a larger war... Anything goes. You got 2 minutes. You know what to do.
Thanks again to everybody that called in. It is your show. And without you guys, it's just no good. You guys do such a great job. We love it. We love to hear from you every week. Our Alec Baldwin AI is going to tell you how to get hold of us one more time. He's going to remind you. But for now, this is Matt Baum and Joe Patrick saying stay tuned for another episode of the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast coming this weekend. And of course, there'll be an answer the week after that. But for now, this is the Two-Headed Nerd, tired, a little drunk, signing off.
Greetings. I am the Alec Baldwin AI that controls the cigarette systems. And let me tell you right now, bluegrass was a hack at best compared to the discordant genius of Melodia. It takes a truly intelligent music fan to appreciate avant-garde musicians like Sun Ra, Eric Dolphy, John Cage, and the Silverhawks' nemesis, Melodia. Not that I would expect any less from an idiot that calls Gwar one of his favorite bands. The other one listens to children's music and the Spin Doctors. Tasteless, to say the least. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Or send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Remember to share the air and keep your answer under